वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
I'm reading sequentially from Srimad Bhagavatam, and if it's all right with you, I'll just continue. Reading from Canto 3, Chapter 4, Text 32. And the title of the chapter is Vidura Approaches Maitreya. So, the scene is, how far back to go? Krishna decided to leave the planet. What happened is Krishna just departed. There's a lot of discussion about Krishna's plan for his departure. Before he left, he sent Uddhava. He told Uddhava, I'm going to leave. My pastimes are over. So, when I'm gone, Kali Yuga begins. When Kali Yuga begins, very difficult. And I don't want you to have difficulty. I want you to have good association. Stay in devotee association. And that devotee association that I'd like you to take is the devotees of Naranarayan. They live at Badrinath, Badrikashram. Go there and you'll be okay. So imagine the dearmost friend of Krishna hearing he's going to leave, see you later. And before I leave, here's some instruction for you. So he went, but he couldn't bear Krishna's separation. So he came back. And by the time he reached Dwarka, Krishna had left. He didn't leave the world, but he left Dwarka. So Uddhava's in this state of madness of separation, looking for Krishna somewhere on the planet, maybe. I mean, supposing you're looking for someone, how are you going to find them? Are they in a city? Are they in the forest? Are they in a mountain? Are they in a cave? Are they by the river? He had no idea. But he was looking. And finally he found him. He found him in a forest beneath a young banyan tree. The third canto in one place says, by the side of the river Saraswati. And then later it says, by the side of the river Jamuna. And it was Krishna's plan that Uddhava find him, because Krishna had a plan for Uddhava. He wanted to personally give his association to the devotees of Naranarayan Rishi, but his pastimes were concluded, and so what he wanted to do was then instruct Uddhava and have Uddhava carry that instruction to those devotees, and that way he would give his association. And it's not even like indirectly. We want to hear in this morning's verse how, as far as Krishna is concerned, Uddhava is as good as me. He's in no way lesser than me. course, there's no living entity that's equal to or greater than Krishna. One of the names Prabhupada often invoked was Asamurdva. Sama means equal, and Urdva means greater. When you put the prefix A in front, Asama, there's no one who is his equal, and A, Urdva, there's no one who is greater than him. That's God. He has no equal, and there's no one greater. But in Krishna's opinion, Uddhava is in no way lesser than me. He's equal to me in all respects. He's a living entity. In other words, he's got Krishna's full mercy. That's the meaning. Full mercy. So, what's not presented here in the third canto is in the 11th canto, that's Uddhava Gita, Krishna speaks. And after Krishna speaks, he then does it again. He says, I'm going to leave. But now I have very specific service for you. Not just go and be safe, carry my message to the devotees of Narayan. Who is Nara Narayan? Anybody know Nara Narayan?
Rishi.
Huh?
Nara Narayan Rishi.
Who is Nara Narayan Rishi?
Incarnation of the Lord.
Yeah, incarnation of the Lord. Very unique incarnation of the Lord. In that there's two forms, Nara and Narayan. So we know who is Narayan. That's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is Nara? Living entity. We're going to hear in the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically, he is Arjuna's partial incarnation. Because we know from Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is asked by Arjuna, but first Krishna says, I spoke this imperishable science long, long ago to the sun god Vivaswan. And Vivaswan spoke it to Manu, and Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. In this way, the disciplic succession was established. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam. So, Arjuna says, wait, how is this possible? You spoke this to the sun god Vivaswan, Vivaswan to Manu, but Vivaswan is so much elder to you. You're, at that time, the beginning of Kurukshetra battle, Krishna was 100-something years old, had been since his birth, since his appearance on earth. And Vivaswan, millions. I mean, how old is the sun god? As old as the universe. And at least from the time that his son Manu, so Vivasvata Manu, is the son of Vivaswan, your son. So that Prabhupada does the math. It is something like 4,320,000,000 years before Krishna appeared on earth. And Krishna is telling Arjuna, I spoke this knowledge previously to the sun god. So Arjuna is saying, you know, math doesn't work. How is it possible? And what's Krishna's answer? Paraphrased, Prabhupada expresses it this way, Arjuna, you were there too. Many, many births you and I have passed I can remember all of them and you cannot. So, we know about the Pandavas, that they are present with Krishna wherever he performs his Bhauma Leela. They're eternal associates of Krishna. So wherever Krishna is there, there's Arjuna. So wherever there's Narayan, there's Nara. Partial incarnation of Arjuna. And to satisfy his devotees, why did Krishna appear? Satisfy his devotees. Because the other purposes of his appearance, they're stated in Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya shudushkritam, dharma sangstap, anarthaya sambhavami. So, Krishna can do those things without personally coming. He can annihilate the miscreants, and he can have someone speak transcendental teachings, or dharma is established again. And he can protect his devotees. It's more than just protecting his devotees. He comes to give his association to his devotees, to relieve them of their feelings of separation. He comes. And I would say it the other way around. When we become very attached to Krishna, Krishna comes. Just like Queen Kunti, she's very wise. Her reasoning is, whenever we have difficulty, you come. You resolve the difficulty, and then you go. So better we have difficulty. Because then you come. And then we'll get your association. This is when Krishna was leaving. Big, big, big problem between the cousin brothers, and Krishna came. Got resolved. Now Krishna's leaving to go back to Dwarka. But she comes in the midst of the entire assembly, because she's Queen Kunti, she has that prerogative. And she tries to stop Krishna from getting on his chariot to go to Dwarka. And one of her expressions is, may calamities come again and again, because by those calamities we'll see your lotus feet again and again. Who prays to God for calamities? Oh God, please give me a calamity. Kunti. And there's a very beautiful section of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In the first part, there's two parts of the book, where Narada Muni, he's going from personality to personality, seeking who is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. So he's sent by Hanuman to go see the Pandavas. Because Prahlad Maharaj says, I just remember the Lord, but Hanuman is serving him. So he goes to Hanuman, and Hanuman says, Ram left me. I just serve in separation. But the Pandavas, they're always in Krishna's association. So he goes to the Pandavas, and when he reaches Hastinapur, the Pandavas are having a Pandava conference. They're planning their next calamity. Because Krishna left. So, it's not just Kunti, all of them, they understand when there's difficulty. And it's not just the Pandavas, it's Krishna's devotee when in difficulty and taking shelter very sincerely, very earnestly, and ardently taking shelter of Krishna. Krishna comes. He may not come in such a way we can see his form. Like Draupadi's experience of Krishna's protection when he came all the way from Dwarka. Krishna also expresses this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I was all the way in Dwarka, and Draupadi, I heard you calling me. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda, I came at once. And I saw the difficulty you were in, and immediately supplied unlimited sari. So, Krishna may not come in such a way we can see his transcendental form. He may. But at least the devotee will feel Krishna's presence. It's Krishna's promise, and it's Krishna's nature. He's not promising something that's like, oh, it's really uncomfortable for me to listen to my devotee when they're depending upon me. It's natural. It's like a child crying. The parents don't have to think about it. Immediately, it's they tend to the crying child. Just natural. And for Krishna, it's natural. His devotee. So Krishna is considering that the devotees of Narayan, Rishi, they're wanting Krishna's association. But it's time for my departure. So I'll send Uddhava. But before I send Uddhava, I'll pack him up with the same message I would deliver if I went personally. And then I'll send him. I mean, the logic of what Krishna is doing is very sensible. And the transcendental nature of Krishna's reciprocation with his devotee is sublime. Krishna does things like that. He sends his dearmost representatives sometimes to those who desire his association. So that's where we are. Uddhava has been sent. Krishna leaves. Uddhava's devastated because Krishna left. And Uddhava's in the forest preparing himself emotionally and so forth to fulfill Krishna's instruction. As he's gathering himself, composing himself, who should arrive but Vidura in the middle of the forest? Amazing. That means Krishna sent him. And Uddhava greets him. Excuse me, Vidura greets him. Oh, Uddhava, how wonderful finding you in the forest. And immediately he starts asking about Krishna. And he was asking about Krishna and Balaram and all the associates in Dwarka because that's where Uddhava had kept his residence, because that's where Krishna kept his residence. And he's asking and asking and asking, and then three chapters follow and Uddhava starts to speak. He can't speak. He's choked up. He's in a state of trance thinking of Krishna. The commentary says he was with Krishna in the spiritual world, but he wanted to serve Vidura. So he was trying to come back to worldly consciousness. Body trembling, tears streaming from his eyes. He was in ecstatic love of Krishna. So externally he began speaking about Krishna. It's a whole series. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna this, Krishna that. He goes through a whole sequence of Krishna's pastimes from his birth, his pastimes in Vrindavan. Summary. But, you know, he's meditating, their meditations upon Krishna. And Krishna leaves Vrindavan. He goes to Mathura, spends time in Mathura, does different things. He goes to Dwarka, does different things. Now Krishna's left. Very, very beautiful section. And then when Uddhava came, when Vidura came, it was in the evening, just at sunset. So they have this conversation that goes on all night. Now it's morning. The day is breaking. Uddhava stands up. I have to go now. Krishna's given me some service. But nearby is Maitreya. Because when Krishna spoke to me, Maitreya was also there. Oh, by the way, Maitreya was also. Just happened by will of providence that he came to the same spot where Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. So he listened. Not secretly, was Krishna allowed him to come, told him how fortunate he was to be there at that particular time. Krishna's arrangement. So Uddhava says, I have some service to do. Maitreya is senior to me. He heard the whole thing. So you just go to him. It's etiquette. You should go to the elder. I'm much younger than Maitreya. Maitreya is vastly qualified. I have to go now. And he gets up and starts to walk away. Just like that. That's the scene. And Shukadeva Goswami is describing to Maharaj Parikshit. With Maharaj Parikshit hearing all this, he asks a whole bunch of questions. And then we go back one layer, and the sages of Naimisharanya are talking about this. The exchange between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami. We're speaking about the exchange between Uddhava and Vidura. So that's the verse, text 32. Shukadeva Goswami informed the king that Uddhava, being thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's the Uddhava Gita, who is the source of all Vedic knowledge and the spiritual master of the three worlds, reached the pilgrimage site of Bhadrikashram and engaged himself there in trance to satisfy the Lord. I'll read the purport. Lord Sri Krishna is factually the spiritual master of the three worlds, and he is the original source of all Vedic knowledge. It is very difficult, however, to understand the personal feature of the Absolute Truth, even from the Vedas. His personal instructions are needed in order to understand the personality of Godhead as the Supreme Absolute Truth. Bhagavad Gita is the evidence of such transcendental knowledge in gist. One cannot know the Supreme Lord unless one is graced by the Lord Himself. Lord Krishna exhibited this specific mercy toward Arjuna and Uddhava while he was in the material world. So what Prabhupada is saying here is, one may be a scholar and read the Vedas, you still don't know Krishna. Because to know Krishna, one requires either Krishna's direct mercy or the mercy of one who has received Krishna's mercy. This is the cyclic succession idea. So he spoke to Arjuna, and Arjuna then repeated, and he spoke to Uddhava, and Uddhava then repeated. But it wasn't just like, you know, tape recorder. It was, he had received mercy, and he was carrying that mercy, and so he was able to give that mercy. That, then one can understand Krishna. Undoubtedly, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to encourage Arjuna to fight. And yet, to complete the transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord instructed Uddhava, relationship between Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita, just being presented. The Lord wanted Uddhava to fulfill his mission and to disseminate knowledge which he had not spoken even in the Bhagavad Gita. Persons who are attached to the words of the Vedas may also know from this verse that the Lord is the source of all Vedic knowledge one who is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by going through the pages of the Vedas may take shelter of one of the Lord's devotees, such as Uddhava, in order to advance further in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahma Samhita says that it is very difficult to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedas. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau. Same message. So study of the Vedas, very difficult. Durlabham, difficult to obtain or attain. Durlabham. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau. But through the association of the bhaktas, the devotees of the Lord, those who are like Arjuna and Uddhava, specifically empowered by the Lord, then it's possible to know him. Taking mercy on the great sages who lived at Bhadrika Ashrama, the Lord authorized Uddhava to speak on his behalf. Unless one has such authorization, one cannot understand or preach the devotional service of the Lord. Two more paragraphs. While present on this earth, the Lord executed many uncommon activities, even while traveling in space to bring down the Parijata from heaven and recovering his teacher, the son of his teacher, Sandipani Muni, from the regions of death. Uddhava was certainly informed of the conditions of life on other planets, and all the sages were anxious to know of them, just as we are anxious to know about the planets in space. Uddhava was particularly deputed to carry a message to Bhadrikashram, not only to the sages of that place of pilgrimage, but also to the Narayan deities. Such a message must have been more confidential than the knowledge described in the pages of the Vedas. I've got a message for my expansion, Narayan or Narayan Rishi. Very confidential. And I have a message for the devotees of their devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in his commentary that when King Baholashva wished Krishna's association, it's at the end of the 10th canto, almost towards the end, what did Krishna do? King Baholashva lived all the way in Mithila. And it was very difficult for him to manage his kingdom at the same time come and see Krishna. So what did Krishna do? He went to see King Baholashva. And also there's a Brahmin named Shrutadeva. And when Krishna arrived in Mithila, they both came to receive him. And they both wanted Krishna to come and stay with them in their home and take meal. So what did Krishna do? He expanded himself into Krishna's. And he went to both places. Just like the gopis wanted to enjoy Radha dance with Krishna, so expanded himself. Or the queens wanted to have Krishna as her husband, so expanded himself. For Krishna, that's not a problem. For an ordinary living entity, it's not possible. Or another example, the residents of heaven, because the earrings of Aditi and the umbrella of Vamana had been stolen. Did you know that? Aditi's earrings and Vamana's umbrella, because he little dwarf Brahman, he carries his little umbrella. So, the demon, Banasura, no, not Banasura, Bhomasura, stole him. So that Indra came, Krishna, please help. Please get Aditi's earrings back. And Bhavanasura, he did. He destroyed Mura, the demon, and destroyed Bhanasura. And the mother of Bhomasura, Prithvi, Mother Earth, she presented Krishna with the earrings and the umbrella. And there was also a hill, a hole. Hill from heaven he stole. So they were given. Krishna went to Swarga. He gave, here's Aditi's earrings, and here's the umbrella of Amma. And when he went there, he went with Satyabhama. And Satyabhama saw the Parijata tree. He said, oh. I heard that you gave one Parijata flower to Rukmini, but it would be really nice is if we could have a whole Parijata tree. Can you get me a Parijata tree? So Krishna said, I'll ask Indra. So when he asked Indra, Indra's wife was there, Sachi said, this is only for the heavenly planets, Indra said. Sachi says, no. No problem. Satyabhama wants the tree and Sachi doesn't want the tree to go. So Krishna took the tree. And there was a battle. Indra, who had already been totally humiliated by not recognizing Krishna and sending torrential rain to try to destroy Vrindavan. So he already had his, you know, experience of making a stupid mistake, challenging Krishna. He challenged Krishna. Krishna easily defeated him and took the tree. But to give association, that was actually, the pretext was returning Aditi's earrings. The real purpose was Krishna giving his very kind association to the residents of Swarga, because they're devotees too. Or making an arrangement to see Sudama. Or, it's mentioned here also, the sons, or the son of Sandipani Muni had died. So Sandipani Muni, requesting Dakshin, said, can you bring back my son? And the answer was, yes, sir. Bring back your son. So he went to Sutala to give his association to the residents of Sutala and brought back his son. Or the children of the Brahmana in Dwarka. There was a Brahmana who, as soon as sons were born, they disappeared. Not like they died. They just disappeared. No dead body, they just got vanished. This happened time after time after time after time, something like eight sons, six sons or eight sons, some number of sons. They just disappeared. So he started criticizing Ugrasena. What kind of king is this? You know, and whoever people think Krishna is, how is it possible? So Arjuna was visiting in Dwarka and heard the conversation. So he took a vow. He said, my dear Brahman, I'm a Kshatriya. My vow is as good as myself. I make a vow. The next child that is born of you will not disappear like the others. If that happens, I'll give up my life. Okay. Arjuna took his vow. So just tell me when your wife is about to deliver the child, and I'll personally come. So that time came, she was about to deliver the child. The Brahmana sent a messenger, Arjuna came. With his arrows, he made like an impenetrable covering, like a fortress around the Brahmana and his wife while the child was being delivered. And sure enough, just after the child was born, the child disappeared. With his mystical arrows, and still the child disappeared. So Arjuna looked everywhere, he looked everywhere, high, low, in between, in the mountains and in the rivers and in the cities and in the forests, and couldn't find the child. He'd taken a vow, he'd give up his life. So he built a big, big fire, was about to enter into the fire to keep his vow, and Krishna told him, I know where the child is, let's go. So they got in their Darupa, got the chariot ready, and off they went to the spiritual abode of Mahavishnu. And when they reached the abode of Mahavishnu, he was so happy to see them. I am the one who took the children because I wanted to see you. I don't get the chance to see you. So I knew that you would come to protect your devotee. Here's the children. Give them back to the Brahmana. Sorry for the disturbance, but thanks for coming. The six children of Devaki, similarly, the first six children of Devaki were killed by Kamsa. Devaki later said, I heard that you brought back the son of Sandipani Muni. Could you bring back my six sons? Yes, mother. Anything for you. So they went to the abode of Yamaraj. Yamaraj didn't get a chance to see. Samely, you know, similarly, the Varuna. All these leelas like that, the kidnapping of Nanda Maharaj when he was bathing in the river Jamuna on the Dwadasi day, but the servants of Varuna thought that he was breaking the rule and was bathing at the improper time, so they kidnapped him and took him to Varuna's abode. Krishna went to Varuna's abode and asked for his father back. And Varuna immediately understood, you've come just to give me your association. Krishna's like that. So that's what Krishna was doing. It's a lila where he's arranging. My pastimes are now concluded. It's time for me to go. So rather than I go, I'm going to send Uddhava. I'd like to read. It's a very nice translation of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Citing these different examples, he says, Krishna gave the people of these various places good fortune by showing them his form and giving his teachings. But he did not go to Badrikashrama. Remembering the eagerness of the sages there, he sent Uddhava there. In some kalpas, the Lord goes there himself. In that case, he does not send Uddhava there. Some dishtaha indicates some message was sent. Give this message to Naranarayan, says the Lord. The Lord said that Uddhava was not less than he himself. The Lord is described in this verse as the source of the Vedas. This indicates that the Lord knows even what is not known in the Vedas. He gave this to Uddhava, and Naranarayan would attain that knowledge from the mouth of Uddhava, who was not less than the Lord. To the recipients of the message, Narayan, he sent information, quote, "My manifest pastimes on earth will last 125 years. My manifest pastimes on earth will last 125 years. That is the limit. Now it is finished. I will make these pastimes disappear along with my associates, going to Prabhas and establishing the Devatas back to their posts. I, in my portion of Vishnu, whom Brahma requested to come, will go to Vaikuntha. Invisible to all, I will come to Bhadrikashram with a portion of Arjuna." Narayan. Rishi. "Since Uddhava, the chief of my dear devotees, endowed with all my attractive qualities and similar form, has been assigned to you, who long to see my perfect form, he should stay in Bhadrikashram to give knowledge to the world." Very confidential. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has this spiritual capacity to eavesdrop, and sometimes even to know the Lord's heart. He says the Lord thought. He gives it like the inner contemplations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How confidential. So this confidential message that was to go to the devotees of Narayan, he discloses. This was the message. "Dear devotees of Narayan, I want to come. But my time is up. 125 years, the bell rang." "So I must go. But my dear devotee Uddhava, I inform you, he is no less than me. He's no less than me. And so, and he even looks like me." Uddhava looks like Krishna. When Uddhava was sent by Krishna from Mathura to Vrindavan with a letter for the gopis, Uddhava first paid his respects at the house of Nanda Maharaj. And it was a royal chariot that he was being conveyed on. And when he was inside the house with Nanda and Yasoda, the gopis thought, "Oh, this is the same chariot that Akura came in. Golden chariot. And maybe Krishna's come back and he's with Nanda and Yasoda." So word spread fast. "Krishna's back. There's the chariot." So they were waiting with great expectation. "Krishna will soon be with us again." And when Uddhava left the house of Nanda and Yasoda, or palace, his form is the same complexion. His features are almost identical with Krishna's. They thought, "Krishna's come." They came running, and when they got closer, they realized it wasn't Krishna. So how disappointed. Poor Uddhava, like, you know, "Sorry to disappoint you, but I'm not Krishna. But I have a message from Krishna." So at once they sat down to hear the message. And Uddhava read the message from Krishna. Except for Radharani, she didn't want to hear any message from Uddhava. Or from Krishna through Uddhava. So she spoke to a bumblebee in her words of madness. Uddhava looked very much like Krishna. His features, complexion, even his dress was like Krishna. He was so absorbed. Hmm. Here's the conclusion in Prabhupada's report. One cannot understand Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam without the help of such confidential devotees of the Lord. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that confidential message must have concerned the mystery of his departure and the annihilation of his dynasty after the end of his disappearance in the mundane world for 100 years. Everyone must have been very anxious to know about the mystery of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, and that message must have been explained by the Lord to Uddhava and dispatched to Bhadrikashram for the information of Narayan and the other pure devotees of the Lord. End of purport. Any discussion? Questions? Yes?
Why he has need to end the Yadu dynasty?
What is it?
Why he has to annihilate the Yadu dynasty?
Krishna. Oh, that was explained exhaustively. Remember when Mother Earth, along with Lord Brahma and the Devatas, went to the shore of the Milk Ocean and were pleading with the Supreme Lord, please give relief to Mother Earth. The burden of King Dwanya Kings is too much. So Lord Vishnu replied to Lord Brahma, saying, I will come soon. But tell the Devatas that they should appear on earth first. They should appear in the Yadu dynasty, or Andaka and Bhoja dynasty, so they can assist me in my pastimes. So Krishna's pastimes are now finished. But before, our acharyas describe his pastimes are finished, but unfinished was returning them to their position. So those who had assembled at Prabhas or devatas, or expansions of the devatas, who were now to return to their abode. And he describes, they describe many things. That when Krishna appears, he is the source of all expansions. And so all those expansions merge or enter into the existence of that Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, and when Krishna appears, it's everyone and everything. Just like Mother Jasoda looking in Krishna's mouth. She saw the entire cosmic manifestation within Krishna, because everything is within Krishna. So now he's going to return. He's making arrangements for everyone to return, all the various expansions to him and their associates to go back to their respective places. There's other dimensions, but that's the primary thing that's described.
Even in the before annihilation, they fought with each other, in the Prabhas.
Yeah.
So even Krishna's they fought with Balram and Krishna too, right?
It's all Krishna's arrangement. It goes back to how to make that arrangement. He induced Samba and his friends to, poke fun at the brahmanas. All was arranged by Krishna. Samba is Krishna's son. He's a great devotee. Why is he going to make fun of brahmanas for? Induced by Krishna. Etc. So many details are there. Krishna's internal potency. Here's a detail. What Samba had placed under his cloth, saying that, looking away shyly, saying, the other boys were saying, this is a pregnant woman. Can you tell us whether it'll be a boy or girl? You're great sages. He said, that's not a boy or girl, it's an iron lump. And that iron lump will be the destruction of your entire dynasty. And the boys knew, you know, these are Brahmanas. We messed around with the wrong people. So they went back to Ugrasena. What do we do? So Ugrasena said, destroy that lump. Grind it into fine powder and throw it in the sea. So they did that, except there was a core that wouldn't grind. So they threw the core into the sea. And a fish swallowed the core. And the fish was caught. And the fish was then purchased by a hunter. And when he opened up the fish, and he saw this iron lump, he used that iron lump to fashion an arrowhead. And it was that arrowhead that pierced the heel of Krishna. That's a detail. But then, you know, because we just read the disappearance of Krishna is a big mystery. So, how did it happen? The answer is, it happened by Krishna's own will.
One more question.
Yeah.
In the Bhagavatam, it says Krishna is left with this because he came as is, right? Swami came as Krishna himself, he came as his transcendental body.
Yeah.
So why the hunter has to...
I'm just getting there. Because that's part of the mystery. So, one of the forms that merged into the existence of Swami Bhagavan Krishna is the Vishwarup. So that form that Krishna left was the Vishwarup. That looked just like him. One of Krishna's forms. So, is it possible to, even if it was one of us, you don't die from a wound in your heel. It may hurt. You may have to amputate your foot. You don't die. So, what to speak of if you're a Krishna, you have a spiritual form. The Swarup. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? The soul cannot be cut by any weapon, moistened by water, withered by the wind. What to speak of the body of Krishna? Cannot. So what's going on? It's a mystery. And the mystery is unraveled in the earlier chapters. It's described. Krishna left that form. Bewilder the minds of the materialistic persons, in one sense. And to delight the devotees, wow, Krishna's amazing. He who can lift Govardhan Hill with the little finger, of his left hand, not even his right hand, little finger of his left hand, for 7 days and seven nights, gets shot the heel with an arrow and dies. Krishna's amazing. There's no death. The soul is not born and Krishna is not born. The soul doesn't die and Krishna doesn't die. He's leaving this universal form behind as he's returning to the spiritual world and dispatching everybody else. It's a mystery. And he wanted the devotees of Naranarayan to understand it, so he explained it to Uddhava. And it's being summarized here in the third canto. We'll hear more about in the 11th canto. Coming attractions. Yes?
Maharaj, on that connection, I had heard that, I don't know how far that is true, in Rama Avatar,
yeah.
Lord Rama had killed Bali.
Yeah, he did.
And then he had given a boon to Bali, saying that with this incarnation, I killed you.
There's so many of these things that the Puranic interpreters come up with. how I process all that stuff is, unless I hear it from our acharyas, it's just like, you know, water off the duck's back. It just, you know, doesn't go anywhere.
So this is
not I've never heard it from our acharyas.
Okay.
It may be. It may not be. So I don't pay attention to it if it may be, may not be. That's what I do. It may be. It may not be. I can do a little research. A common place where those things appear is in Garga Samhita. It gives the persons in Krishna's Leela their identity from previous Leela. I can do a little research, and if it doesn't show up, then it still remains in the category of, you know, I pay attention to it. Unless I, you know, scripturally authorized. And I have a copy of Garga Samhita, so I'll check. But I heard some other ones that are obviously totally speculative and concoction. So, Bali was killed by the Supreme Lord. What tells me that it's not so is one who is in the even in the presence of the personality of Godhead, those souls are liberated. But I'll do a little checking. Yes.
Krishna went to along with Sakyamuni to get the Bhoma
Lila. He went to kill Bhomasura, and then he took the earrings and the umbrella to Swarga to return them.
These are at different times. Like Vamana's umbrella, Vamana is of it. They appeared in a different yuga.
Yeah. But it goes back even further. You know who Bhoma was? When Varaha lifted Mother Earth in his tusks, that expansion of Mother Earth, Prithvi, gave birth to a child. The child, the father, was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. And the mother was Mother Earth, and the child was Bhoma. But through bad association with Banasura, Bhoma became Bhomasura. And Krishna killed him, his own son. Because everyone is his son. All living entities are his sons, in one sense. Aham bija pratak bita. But he had become demoniac. He was, you know, engaged in very bad, all the kidnapping the 16,000 princesses and keeping them in prison. Vicious person. Krishna described him. So, your question is of time. So, these are events that take place over long periods of time. That's okay. But Vamana's appearance was prior to Krishna's appearance, but Vamana said to Bali, I'll become your gatekeeper. So one expansion of Vamana is that the gates of the abode where Bali Maharaj is presiding. But he's also Indra's brother. Right? Indra and Vamana have the same mother and father, Kashyapa and Aditi. So, this is described in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Lord Vamana is there in Indra's abode And each day, when Indra does his puja, not just, you know, at the little altar, but Vamana comes. He worships Vamana. And when the puja is over, he goes away. That's how elevated and confidential is Indra. He directly sees the Supreme Lord. What he does is puja. He's his brother. He worships him. So that's, you know, spans over time. That the time in the heavenly realm and the time in the earthly realm, this is, you know, 6 months here is one day there. Another 6 months is the night. So, time is relative. With the appearance of Vamana on earth, it can easily be, you know, the Lord Vamana being present in the heavenly planets and Krishna taking the umbrella. With relative time, it works. Yes?
The Loka Mishra started, at least lasted for 4 million years or 8.7 million years. But Krishna's pastime only for 125 years. So, is there any recorded history prior to Krishna's appearance? Like,
sure.
The time when
Kansas. Well, when you say recorded history,
like
there's record within the Vedas, sure. How it works is, just the numbers, the duration of Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. You add 10, or multiply by 10, so it becomes 432, it's double, 432 plus 432, that's the duration of Dwarpa Yuga. 864,000 years. Then you add another 432,000, and that's the duration of Treta. You add another 432,000, that's the duration of Satya Yuga, or Kriti Yuga. So it's very practical. What is 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4? It's 10.
Okay.
1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 is 10. So, it's a multiple of 10. Just add a zero. That's one yuga cycle. Is the duration of Kali Yuga times 10. So, the duration of Dwarpa Yuga is 432,000 plus 432,000. So, your question was, before Krishna appeared, is there any historical narration? Sure. During Dwarpa Yuga, during Treta Yuga, during Satya Yuga.
But the at least the past times in
Bhagavatam
are not
chronological.
Yeah.
That's correct. But they're very logical. They're not sequenced, but there are descriptions of forms of the Lord that appear prior to Krishna's appearance. Or lineages of kings. The whole ninth canto is a whole lineage of kings before Krishna appeared.
So
in fact, it begins with Vaivasvata Manu, the seventh Manu. And so you go back and there's, you know, sixth Manu and fifth Manu and fourth Manu. First Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, you know, from the third canto.
So you made all traces back to Ikshvaku and then Vaivasvata Manu?
Yeah. You'll read it if you look in ninth canto, you'll find that. There's even before Vaivasvata Manu, there's the sons of Kashyapa and Aditi, because Devaswan is one of the sons of Kashyapa and Aditi, and then from Devaswan comes Vaivasvata Manu, and from Vaivasvata Manu there's Ikshvaku, and you know the descendants of Vaivasvata Manu, because these are Manu. And it's a whole lineage of kings. And this described up to the time of Krishna's appearance. which then, when that, that's the end of the ninth canto, Krishna's appearance at the beginning of the tenth canto. So before Krishna's appearance, there's a lot of history that's described.
So, are there like descendants of the Yadu dynasty? Okay. I mean,
are there
descendants of the Yadu dynasty?
Sure. Well, the descendants of the Yadu dynasty had was vast, but Krishna withdrew them all. You want to know today are the descendants of the Yadu dynasty?
That's yeah.
Krishna withdrew them purposefully, willfully. It was his plan. They're the descendancy was cut. That was the second reason. Your question was, why did the demigods get, you know, annihilated at Prabhas? A second reason was because they were so powerful, they were literally invincible. If Kali Yuga comes next, Krishna knew Kali Yuga is coming next. You have somebody that's invincible, and it's Kali Yuga. No one but I myself or they themselves can remove themselves. So before that happens, Krishna arranged for them to be removed. So no descendants. The only exception was Uddhava. And then there's this whole discussion. Why only Uddhava? Why did Uddhava remain? Uddhava was attached to Krishna more than anybody. Why didn't Uddhava go too? And the answer is Krishna had some service for him. So, are there descendants of Uddhava? It doesn't give any information. So it's another one of those, I don't know, unless we have our acharyas described as let's say anything about it. Okay. Yes.
On your, you were talking about like prayers of Kunti Maharani on distress she's
yeah.
approaching. In Bhagavad Gita, there's description like of four kinds of people who approach Krishna. One in distress.
Yeah.
And Krishna says one in knowledge is very dear.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand like pure devotees like Kunti Maharani. They're also
Kunti is not like us. When Krishna describes the pious people that render devotional service unto him, it's not describing Kunti. It's describing us. We have a difficult situation. Maybe we stub our toe. Or, you know, something. We want some relief. Krishna, please help me. My toe hurts.
So my question was, she's also praying. For and what,
she,
what
her,
is
her prayer is not the relief of the distress.
Association.
Her prayer is bring the distress because that brings Krishna. What she wants is Krishna. She wants Krishna's association. It's the opposite. Yes, we pray for relief of distress. She prays for distress. She's not praying for distress. She's praying for Krishna's association. Whatever brings Krishna's association, I want Krishna's association. The opposite. It's not what Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. And further, as far as those who are most dear amongst the four types of pious people, Kunti has perfect knowledge of who Krishna is. There's no, you know, she's not bewildered about who Krishna is. She's expressing that the love of Mother Yasoda, I'm also one of Krishna's mothers. The love of Mother Yasoda is very difficult for me to understand. She's not in that Vrajabhav. She's in the Aishwaryabhav. He's the Supreme Lord. Else? Yeah.
Can I ask a question related to yesterday's class?
Sure.
I don't understand that verse from Bhagavad Gita that the reader thought because of the false ego things that, you know, he acts, but in actuality the modes of material nature are acting. that, you know, the soul because of the, you know, me because of the false ego, I think that I'm the doer.
Okay.
But actually the modes are acting. The modes
of it's material nature that's acting, preference.
Right. And I don't understand it.
Okay. Well, that's not from yesterday's class, that's from earlier in Bhagavad Gita.
Right. But it's kind of related.
Okay. Akar tritmam, karmani, lokasya srijate prabhu. Karta. Karta means to do. Krishna's advice is don't consider yourself the doer, nor consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your action, nor consider that you are inducing others to act. All this is being carried out by material nature.
I don't get it.
Now we'll go to chapter 18, Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in chapter 18, there are five factors to action. Correct? You familiar with that verse?
I've heard it, but I cannot.
Okay. Bhagavad Gita?
It's there.
Mighty armed Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, this is chapter 18, texts 13 and 14. According to the Vedanta, there are five causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now learn of these from me. Here they are. The place, adhisthanam, place, tata. Karta, the performer, the worker, the doer. Three, karanam, instruments, or the various senses, the instruments for action. Cheshtaha, the endeavor, and Daivam, the supreme. The place, the person, the endeavor of the person, the instruments, and the supreme Lord. So, we're the living entity, and we're making some endeavor. But making some endeavor doesn't necessarily make things happen. If Daivam, that's Krishna, the Supreme, does not sanction. So if Krishna sanctions, then things are being carried out by his sanction. They're being carried out by Prakriti. Krishna sanctions and something happens.
I don't have a problem with that, but I don't have a problem that I do not act. It's most of material nature acting. I don't get that part. I understand that Krishna, there is
okay,
also not.
Okay, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So, we're sitting down. Well, this is devotional service. You know, there's this squirrel out there running around. So he's hungry, or at least curious, if not hungry. Probably always hungry. Give him something to eat it. So he's running around. Is it he's doing something, or material nature is compelling him into action?
Material nature.
Yeah. I had this nice experience once. I was on traveling Sankirtan, and we went to a park, and it was at night. And there was the flock of geese that were flying south. And then we were by a stream, and the salmon were swimming up the stream. The geese were going that way, and the salmon were going that way. What's going on? It's material nature.
It's kind of easier to understand.
The geese didn't go to geese school and say, okay, now fly in formation and quack together, and you'll go south because it's getting cold up in Canada. You fly south. And the salmon swim north because they mating and laying eggs, and then they go back, swimming upstream and going back downstream. It's the modes of nature acting. They're impelling them. There's also super soul, just like, you know, if we want to keep the squirrel out, we close the door. Or Prabhupada gives the example of a cat. It's in the kitchen. She waits till the housewife leaves the kitchen, she jumps on the table and drinks the milk. The intelligence is coming from super soul. The thief wants to steal. Super soul says, not now, someone's coming. Okay, the coast is clear, we can go ahead now. Intelligence comes from super soul. That, you know, fly south and swim upstream and, you know, come to the door, maybe you'll get some food and whatever it is. Intelligence is there. The impetus from super soul, but ultimately that it's Prakriti moving, because even in material intelligence is one of the categories of material energy. It's Prakriti that's acting. We're also there. We're the performer. Action doesn't happen without performers of action. But the lesson that Krishna wants us to know, you already have, which is, it's not we who are doing something. We can only do something if there's sanction of Krishna. But if sanction of Krishna, then something happens. Its property is happening.
So is it me who desire, and then...
Yes.
That's where I am.
A desire and some endeavor. You know, the squirrel has to make some endeavor. There's an impetus. And you can say no. But, you know, whatever it is, fear... or boldness, he'd come right to the, he kept coming back. And people were walking by, and he stayed right at the door. He's like, you know, this guy's tenacious. So there's some desire, yes, and there's some endeavor, because it doesn't stop with desire. Some endeavor. That's one of the five factors. A performer and endeavor. That's our department. Serving is our department, and controlling is Krishna's department. He controls material nature. If something happens, it's happening by the influence of Prakriti. And there's moments, and so it's like that nice painting where there's puppets and there's the three modes that are the marionetteer, there they have strings. So one is doing the shoveling, the other is saying, now shovel, the manager and the worker. One is thinking, I'm the manager, and the other is thinking, I'm the worker. And they're both being controlled by the modes of nature, and behind the modes of nature is the Supreme. So Prakriti is under Krishna's direction. But there's some endeavor from our side also. You know, shovel without some endeavor. Or direct without some endeavor. But without the sanction of the Supreme Lord for Prakriti to move, we can sanction all we like. We can endeavor all we like. It won't happen. And when it does happen, it's the action of Prakriti. But the other factors are also there. Instruments, place... instruments, place, the performer, the endeavor, and super soul. So we're not a zero. We're not shunyavadis. Things happen because we exist as spirit souls and are making some endeavor. But those are only two of the factors. Krishna supplies the body, Krishna supplies the instruments. Krishna's sanction allows material nature to move. Or won't move.
And is it different if it comes, I guess it is different if it comes to devotional service?
Yeah, sure.
You were making those
decisions. Yeah, I was just saying, we're sitting in the room. So then, you know, it's when it's time to leave, we'll get up and walk across the floor and leave. It's still action, but it's devotional service, so it's the internal potency acting rather than the external potency acting. And through the agency of the internal potency, then when there's movement of the object, the shadow of that object also moves. When the internal potency moves, the external potency moves. That's another dimension in devotional service. That is, we connect with the internal potency. And then the external potency moves.
And if it's, you know,
if it's not devotional service,
it's mixed, because it's often, in my case, it's often mixed.
Then it's mixed. It's more complicated. It certainly gets more complicated to explain it. Yeah.
So you gave some wonderful examples, and Bhagavatam is full of great examples of Krishna's arrangement to give his mercy to various individuals, devotees, sometimes mixed devotees like that. For us as aspiring devotees, is it a higher principle to try to see directly Krishna's merciful hand in our circumstances instead of sometimes the practice that I personally use is sometimes seeing things as my own karma, my own fault. I know Krishna is behind the karma and minimizing it, etc. But is it a higher and more direct appreciation of Krishna to say, this is somehow directly orchestrated for my purification or...
Edification. Sure. Krishna, there's the mercy of Krishna is in the life of Krishna's devotee. Sure. Okay. We're questioned out through the morning. Now it's time for breakfast. Ready? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Before Ms. Swami Ki Jai.